Hello and welcome to episode 831 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Wednesday, March 13th, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with the great saint and doctor of the church, Alphonsus Liguori's Wednesday prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain deliverance from hell. My most beloved Lady, I thank thee for having delivered me from hell as many times as I have deserved it by my sins. Miserable creature that I was once condemned to that prison, and perhaps already after the first sin, the sentence would have been put into execution, if thou in thy compassion hadst not helped me. Thou, without even being asked by me, and only in thy goodness, didst restrain divine justice, and then conquering my obduracy, thou didst draw me to have confidence in thee. Oh, into how many other sins should I have afterwards fallen, in the dangers in which I have been, hadst not thou, my loving mother, preserved me by the graces which thou didst obtain for me. Ah, my queen, continue to guard me from hell. For what will thy mercy and the favors which thou hast shown me avail me if I am lost? If I did not always love thee, now at least, after God, I love thee above all things. Never allow me to turn my back on thee and on God, who by thy means has granted me so many graces. My most amiable Lady, never allow me to have the misfortune to hate thee and curse thee for all eternity in hell. Wilt thou endure to see a servant of thine who loves thee lost? O Mary, what sayest thou? I shall be lost if I abandon thee. But who can evermore have the heart to leave thee? How can I ever forget the love thou hast borne me? My Lady, since thou hast done so much to save me, complete the work, continue thy aid. Wilt thou help me? But what do I say? If at a time when I live forgetful of thee, thou didst favor me so much, how much more may I not hope for now that I love thee and recommend myself to thee? No, he can never be lost who recommends himself to thee. He alone is lost who has not recourse to thee. Ah, my mother, leave me not in my own hands, for I should then be lost. Grant that I may always have recourse to thee. Save me, my hope, save me from hell. But in the first place, save me from sin, which alone can condemn me to it. Prayer for the conversion of the Jews. O God, who dost also manifest thy omnipotence by mercy and compassion, listen to the prayers we offer up for the enlightenment of the unbelieving, perfidious Jews, that they may acknowledge the light of thy truth, which is Christ, and may be saved from their blindness. Grant, we beseech thee, all-powerful God, that the remnant of the Jewish people may walk in the way of salvation, and by following the preaching of the blessed John, thy precursor, they may safely come to him whom he foretold, Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen. Sometimes, friends, I think the Holy Ghost nudges me in a certain direction, maybe to mention certain things here on the Our Lady of Fatima podcast, and of course, Our Lady as well, because she's the spouse of the Holy Ghost. She is the created Immaculate Conception, whereas the Holy Ghost is the uncreated Immaculate Conception. So you have Our Lady being the daughter of God the Father, the mother of God the Son, and the bride of God the Holy Ghost. And she says, my soul doth magnify the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. So she's certainly on the same page with God and every aspect and everything that the Lord wants to convey. So yesterday I saw a video that Father David Nix, a very good traditional Catholic priest, recommended of a gentleman, I believe he was involved in gang activity and living an immoral lifestyle. He's from the Chicago area. And he had a near-death experience and he had a vision of hell. And it corresponded with things the Blessed Mother had shown the little shepherds at Our Lady of Fatima, and going through this video, also things that St. John Bosco had written about, and he had a vision, and some other visions that saints or, you know, people who were in discussion with saints, and a lot of the things they talked about, the absolute horror and the images of hell, they corresponded with what this gentleman in the video was talking about. So there was that yesterday. And then today, in my reading. I'm going through and reading sacred scripture daily, also going through Credo, Compendium of the Catholic Faith by Bishop Athanasius Schneider, which I can't recommend enough. So the reading for today was about, you guessed it, hell. And I wanted to share a little bit with you right now. Number 864 says, what else should we do to maintain a horror of hell? Bishop Schneider says, reflect on the frightful reality of hell, e.g., through the report of Sister Lucia of Fatima's vision, quote, Our Lady opened her hands once more, as she had done the two previous months. The rays of light appeared to penetrate the earth, and we saw, as it were, a vast sea of fire. Plunged in this fire, we saw the demons and the souls of the damned. The latter were like transparent, burning embers, all blackened or burnished bronze, having human forms. They were floating about in that conflagration, now raised into the air by the flames which issued from within themselves, together with great clouds of smoke. Now they fell back on every side, like sparks in huge fires, without weight or equilibrium, amid shrieks and groans of pain and despair, which horrified us and made us tremble with fright. It must have been this sight which caused me to cry out, as people say they heard me. The demons were distinguished from the souls of the damned by their terrifying and repellent likeness to frightful and unknown animals, black and transparent like burning coals. That vision only lasted for a moment, thanks to our good Heavenly Mother, who at the first apparition had promised to take us to heaven. Without that, I think that we would have died of terror and fear, end quote. And in this section, it's from a larger piece, number 865. The question posed is, how are we to act as friends of the angels and saints in this life? And Bishop Schneider says, by a true lex vivendi, or rule of life. Fulfilling God's holy will as we discover it written in our hearts, inscribed in nature, revealed in history, and taught by his church. Some people have mentioned, friends, there's a movie called Heaven is Real. I never saw it, and I can't recommend it because I don't know if it's good material or not, but I think the Catholic apologist Patrick Madrid and others have said they should do, you know, sequels, you know, movies like Hell is Real and Purgatory is Real. And the third aspect, or the third little nudge from the Holy Ghost and Our Lady, I would say, we had that video I came across the other day about hell, the reading today pertaining to hell as I'm going through in Credo by Bishop Schneider. And also, of course, the Glories of Mary, the book, and the Wednesday prayer, asking for the Blessed Mother's intercession to obtain deliverance from hell. So sometimes you think you might be getting a little divine inspiration to mention something. So wanted to mention here, having that good salutary fear of hell, not every moment of our life saying, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, and being scrupulous, but no, just not wanting to offend the Lord in anything and knowing that we're judged immediately at the end of our lives. And if we die with, it only takes one unrepentant mortal sin to go to hell for all eternity. Of course, we don't want that. We don't want that for anyone. We want to be in heaven with God and all of his angels and saints. Hell is everlasting torment and terror. Heaven is everlasting bliss and joy beyond anything we can possibly imagine. So in simplest terms, friends, let's do good. Let's avoid evil. Let's pray the rosary every single day. Let's be thoroughly Catholic. And I'll say once again, if you're not Catholic, you need to convert. If you are Catholic and you're away from the faith, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, come on in. Come back. The water's fine. Jesus wants you in his church. Jesus loves you more than you can possibly imagine, but he does not want you or me or anyone else committing sins. Does not want us living a sinful lifestyle. Wants us to live virtuous, good lifestyles. So we're happy in this life and we're happy with him for all eternity. Today, friends, as we return to fisheaters.com, an excellent Catholic website, and Meditations for Lent. This edition was published in 1937 by Sheed and Ward. It's by St. Thomas Aquinas. Fourth Wednesday in Lent, and the title here is The Divine Friend. St. Thomas begins with a verse from John chapter 11, verse 3. His sisters sent to him saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." And St. Thomas says, three things here call for thought. One, God's friends are from time to time afflicted in the body. It is not therefore in any way a proof that a man is not a friend of God, that he is from time to time sick and ailing. Eliphaz argued falsely against Job when he said, "Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent, or when were the just destroyed?" Job 4:7. The gospel corrects this when it says, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." And the book of Proverbs 2, where we read, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth, and as a father in the son, he pleaseth himself." Proverbs 3:12. As we've mentioned before here on the Our Lady of Fatima podcast, friends, we as Catholics do not believe in a health and wealth gospel. That if you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, kind of a one-time thing, and you're going to be healthy, and you're going to be happy, and you're going to have lots of money, and you're going to have lots of stuff. No, that's a materialistic Protestant version of the gospel. And I know not all Protestants share this belief, but all Protestants need to convert because Protestantism is a heresy and the Orthodox churches are in schism. They need to convert too. But we as Catholics do not believe in a health and wealth gospel. Why do we suffer? The Lord builds us up through suffering. Dr. E. Michael Jones says, if it wasn't for suffering, no one would pay attention to God. So remember that when you're tempted to complain about some suffering that you're going through, offer it up for God's glory, for reparation for your own sins, for reparation for my sins. I'd greatly appreciate that. And also for the relief of the holy souls in purgatory. Getting back to what we mentioned earlier in the broadcast, we go to one of three places when we die: heaven, purgatory, or hell. And everyone's ultimately going to be in heaven or hell because at the end of time, purgatory will be emptied. But let's not forget about those holy souls in purgatory. Let's pray for them. Let's fast for them. Let's offer up sacrifices for them. Two, St. Thomas says, the sisters do not say, "Lord, come and heal him." They merely explain that Lazarus is ill. They say he is sick. This is to remind us that when we are dealing with a friend, it is enough to make known our necessity. We do not need to add a request. For a friend, since he wills the welfare of his friend, as he wills his own, is as anxious to ward off evil from his friend as he is to ward it off from himself. This is true most of all in the case of him, capital H, who of all friends loves most truly. The Lord keepeth all them that love him. Psalm, let me see if I can get the Roman numeral correct. Psalm 144, verse 20, I believe. I need to continue to do more work on my Roman numerals. In other words, Jesus knows what's going on with Lazarus. He's the omniscient, omnipotent Lord, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity. And St. Thomas is saying that, you know, if we're true disciples of the Lord, we're friends of the Lord, it's enough to make known to him what our necessities are, what our needs are. We don't need to add an additional request, because who best answers the, or responds, I should say, to his friends when they're in need than our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the best friend there could ever possibly be. We also have to remember, though, that he is our Lord. And he is worthy of our respect, our love, and but also our worship. We worship him. We worship the most holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But he is the most true friend, the most loving friend there could ever possibly be, because he is love himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the merciful love of our Heavenly Father. 3. St. Thomas says, these two sisters who so greatly desire the cure of their sick brother do not come to Christ personally, as did the centurion and the man sick of the palsy. From the special love and familiarity which Christ had shown them, they had a special confidence in him. And possibly their grief kept them at home, as St. Chrysostom thinks. A friend, if he continue steadfast, shall be to thee as thyself, and shall act with confidence among them of thy household. Ecclesiasticus 6:11. So ends the meditation for today. That word confidence is so key. Pope St. Pius X had a particular devotion to the Blessed Mother under the title of Our Lady of Confidence. He would repeat over and over again, my mother, my confidence. We can have perfect confidence in our Lord. We can have perfect confidence in Our Lady. Because unlike the rest of us, I'm speaking specifically about the gentleman speaking into this microphone, we don't always keep our promises. We don't always keep our word. We're weak. We're sinful. We fail. We make mistakes. But when our Lord says something, when Our Lady says something, and they promise to do something, they do it. And they do it in spades, you might say. You've heard the phrase, the Lord is never outdone in generosity. Well, the same goes for Our Lady. They want to help us at all times. And it's like saying this to myself more than anyone who's listening, probably. It's up to me to get out of the way. It's up to me to not be sinful. It's not to me to not cling to, you know, wealth, pleasure, power, and fame, things that lead us away from the Lord and Our Lady. They walk the walk and they talk the talk. Let us do the same, and let us have perfect confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us have perfect confidence in Our Lady, because they always want to help us, but we have to get out of our own way. And we do that by repenting and believing in the gospel, responding to God's grace, not clinging to our sins, not clinging to the things of this world, which will ultimately separate us from the Lord if we persist in our sins. So getting back to what we talked about earlier and about hell, it's important to have that good salutary fear of hell, but also the hope of heaven. And if we respond to the Lord's grace, we live a life of prayer and frequenting the sacraments and fasting and praying the rosary every day, doing the things that we ought to be doing, then we have nothing to fear. With the exception of the fear of offending the Lord. All right, friends, I'm going to conclude by once again mentioning Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach. Well, one more thing I want to mention. The Blessed Mother, there are so many graces that she wants to mediate. She's a mediatrix of all graces. But there have been certain apparitions. I'm thinking of one particular apparition, which one escapes me, where there are rays coming forth from her hands, but rays of light, rays of grace, if you will. But some are not being taken advantage of. And she says that those are the graces that souls aren't asking for. So when you talk about Our Lord and Our Lady not being outdone in generosity, let's ask Our Lady and Our Lord today, please give me an abundance of grace. Blessed Mother, mediate all those graces into my life from Our Lord Jesus Christ and help me to be open to the grace that the Lord is trying to give me. All right. Once again, halo-soma.org, helping autism through learning and outreach. Please tune into episodes 277 and 548 as well. Those episodes, that website pertaining to RPM, an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now, thanks to RPM, her hard work, her family's hard work, and most importantly, God's grace, we know that she's a comprehensive genius who can compose music, poetry, very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. How many others like her are out there? Communication is a human right. RPM is taking non-speakers out of the prison of silence that they're in and bringing them into the world of open communication where they rightfully belong. This has been as big of a breakthrough in terms of being able to communicate as sign language was for the deaf. You can also point to Braille for the blind in terms of their being able to read. So please spread this information far and wide. If you don't know any non-speakers, I can assure you that they're some of the most kind, generous, and intelligent folk you will ever meet in your entire life. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.